feels a bit strange. I haven't stood this side of the congregation for quite a long time. Shall we begin by asking God's blessing on our time together? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. And Lord, I pray now that you would open ears to hear, hearts to receive, and Lord, that your Spirit would touch the lives that need to be touched in this room this morning. Lord, there will be many here that maybe don't relate to what's going to be shared, but there will be those that do. So Lord, I pray now that you would be with them, that you would bless them, and you would wrap your arms around them. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. I was very fortunate yesterday. I went to see Mary Poppins Returns. What a wonderful film. Wasn't it lovely to have a little cameo at the end of Dick Van Dyke and Angela Lansbury just popping up towards the end? One of the songs they sang was about not judging a book by the cover. And don't we all do that? Don't we all look at each other and think, oh, I know what they're about. I know what their history is. I know where they come from. I know what their life's about. Well, I might have some surprises for you this morning, because I'm sure I've been in the church, well, coming to join you for about just over a year now, I think. I know there's a little gap in the middle when I wasn't well and I wasn't here, but it's been a year just over, and I've loved being here. I really feel part of this church. I really feel welcomed and part of the family. It's amazing. But I don't, and some of you know, because some of you came to my first ladies' breakfast, which was very exciting, but some of you here must look at me and think, I don't know anything about you. Don't know where you come from, don't know anything about you at all. How did you come to be here? So I'm going to share my testimony and some of God's word, a message all twisted in together, because that's how God likes to do things. He likes us to be real, and he likes us to relate to exactly who we are and where we are. I'm going to start right back at the beginning though. Okay, if I see any yawns, then I know I've gone too far. Okay, back in 1962, 63, which was a long time ago, my mum and dad met. They were teenagers, literally 15 and 16, but fell madly in love with each other and wanted to be together. My grandfather said, no way are you getting married at 16, 17. My mother had a rough life and she wanted to be away from where she was, and she wanted her own life and to start again. So they planned me. They planned that if she got pregnant in 1964, then they'd have to get married, and nobody could stop them. So I was planned by them as well as God. My father unfortunately died in 1968, a sudden death. My mother found him dead in bed in the morning when she woke up. And as I get older, I realise how much impact that's had on my life. And how much that loss at such a young age, at 3.5, has really impacted everything else that's happened since. I didn't know God at that point. My mother didn't know God. She wasn't a Christian. She's never been a Christian. She does believe in a greater power, in something beyond us, but she won't commit. I am working on it, slowly, but she won't commit. But she's happy that I have committed, and she's happy that I'm a Christian. She's happy to support me in everything that I do. So, 1968, she's a young 21-year-old mother with two children, because my sister had been born just 2 months before, and she found herself on her own. She rushed into a second marriage, and she admits herself that she rushed into a second marriage because she needed support and she needed someone to look after her. And my stepfather wasn't a nice person at all. So for all my life growing up, I lived in a household where my father was physically abusive to my mother and abusive to me. And I won't go into detail because we don't need to. But it wasn't very nice. I met a boyfriend, as you do as a teenager at 15. And you think, this is the one I'm going to spend the rest of my life with, and I'm going to have kids and a four-bedroom house and a nice car on the drive and all of those things. That didn't come to fruition. In 1983, I went off to the Heath to train to be a staff nurse, a registered nurse. And at the end of my training, as my training was coming to an end, I met my first husband, Stephen. 1986. 1988, we got married. So this was going to be the one. And we had a child, our first child, a little boy named Nicholas, was born in November 1988. He was our world, as your first child is. As every child is, but your first child is that sort of, it starts the whole ball rolling, doesn't it? Unfortunately, in 1989, in December, just a month after his first birthday, Nicky contracted sepsis and died just 24 hours later. And our world caved in. It caved in, but God was there. And I can't explain to you how I know that, but he was. And I tell you, the smallest things make all the difference when you look back. As Nicky was on the ventilator in intensive care, and we knew that the ventilator was going to be turned off and that we were going to have to say goodbye and let him go, my mother, of all people, said, why don't we get the hospital chaplain to come and baptise him? My mother. So we did. And he came and prayed over him and blessed him and baptised him there in his hospital bed. And that was the first encounter I had with God. In the preparation for Nicky's funeral, we had to find him something to wear. And unfortunately, because of the sepsis, his body was really swollen and he couldn't wear the clothes that he would have normally worn. So we had to go and find something special for him to wear. And I wanted him to be buried in a christening gown because he'd just been baptised and that's what I wanted. But we couldn't get one because he was so swollen. So we went to the Catholic Church in Cardiff, the little shop there, and we bought a confirmation gown because that would fit him. And while we were there, I picked up a verse off the shelf. And many of you probably know what this verse is going to be. It was the verse, Footprints, which is not from the Bible, I know, but it just gives you that message, doesn't it? And you know, I carried that verse around in my purse for years and years and years before I ever became a Christian, because to me, that was telling me it's okay. You can let yourself go because somebody else will carry you and take the burden and will get you through this, and you will get through it. And I did. Good luck, I'm still here. I went on to have two more children, my beautiful girls, in 1990 and 1993, but my first marriage failed in 1995. I think the loss of a child is difficult, isn't it? And it either pulls you together or it just separates you. It depends how you deal with the grief, I suppose. And in 1997, I met a man called Glyn. Now, Glyn was a Christian and introduced me to his church friends, his Christian friends, but it introduced me to a very, very influential lady called Joni Yoder, who set up a Christian rehabilitation centre in Reading, in London, but who was a missionary originally with her husband. And she was just the most patient, wonderful woman I've ever met. She didn't force me to do anything, didn't force me to read anything, didn't force me to go anywhere. But if I rang her and had a chat and she'd say, oh, why don't you have a look at this little bit of scripture in the Bible and see if that helps you in any way, or have a look at this book and see if that helps you. And little by little, between her and all the other church friends I'd met, I started to feel something. And then in 1999, towards the end of 1999, I went with my sister, and I've talked to Jeanette and Clive about this, I still cannot remember how or why, I went to Lanswick Major Baptist Church with my sister, who was a member there. And their pastor was finishing his last baptism, and he was baptising five people that evening. And she said, come along and see you. It'd be really nice, and we're having food afterwards, and it'd be lovely. Come along. So I went, and we sat up in the balcony. I can still see the view down over the top. And these people shared their testimony, and they were so excited. And when they shared their testimony, and he opened the baptismal pool, and he said, is there anyone else now who'd like to be baptised? And you know, I sat on my hands, because I felt such a stirring. I really felt, oh my gosh. I didn't even know where it had come from. But I didn't do it, because I felt I didn't want to steal from the people who'd done all their preparation, and because that's my logical brain kicked back in at that point. And we sang, My Jesus, My Saviour. And I cried. Like I've never cried. And I didn't even know why I was crying. I just had tears streaming down my face. And I went home, and about a week later, on it was the 5th of January, I think, 2000, I gave my life to the Lord. I said, I want it. I want whatever they've got, I want it. And that feeling I had that day, I want that feeling all the time. I want to know that you are in me like you're in them, and like I felt you that day. I started in Ebenezer Baptist Church in Penguin, after sort of wandering around different churches as you do, because God's got a place for you, hasn't he? Don't ever think that you're here by accident, because none of us are here by accident. God brings us to where he needs us to be. And that doesn't mean that he needs us to be here for the next 50 years. That means that he needs us to be here now. And he might need us somewhere else next week or the week after. We can't guess what God wants, and we can't preempt what he's going to do. Don't be upset and shocked when it all changes, because he's in control. I had lots of involvement. I was part of the children's work, part of the coffee mornings, started the ladies' ministry that I'm now hopefully re-establishing here. It was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. I felt that I was comfortable, my life was good, I'd done my teacher training, I had a good job, I was really, really happy. And then in 2009, things took a different direction. And my second marriage ended, and I really won't go into detail about that, but it just came to an end. So I left the church I was in, and I joined a Christian fellowship in Blackwood. People that I'd known all these years, all the time, since I first became a Christian. In fact, they were the first group of friends that I'd had before I became a Christian, the people that had encouraged me and brought me along. And I went and joined them in their fellowship. They're amazing, absolutely amazing people, but they've got a very, very small fellowship, and it is now down to sort of 8 or 10 people. And although I was there, and I was happy, and I was out late preaching most Sundays, I didn't feel like I was getting the teaching that I needed to be able to go out and share with others, because I think you need to have that grounding yourself, don't you? And in 2015, I was diagnosed with cancer, which was a bit of a shock to everybody. All gone. It was all gone. Within 4 weeks of diagnosis, it was all gone, because it was a surgery and it was done and it's sorted. But it does wake you up, doesn't it? Whoa. You know, none of us are here forever. None of us. None of us are here, you know, none of us know when it's going to come to an end. Nothing in this world is forever. Nothing. The only thing that's forever is him. Nothing else at all. So we have to make the most of every single day. And we have to enjoy every single day and be part of everything every single day. I say that standing here quite blasé. I'm not the most happy person 24/7, 7 days a week. I have my distresses and my anxieties and my lows, the same as everybody else does. But I learned the hard way. God is always there, even when you don't think he is. So that's my testimony, okay? It's quite short and brief, and you can see there have been lots of ups and downs, some really sort of tragic times and some really happy times, and at the moment, I'm in a really happy time. I've got 2 beautiful grandchildren that you all know, and I live with them, so I get to see them 7 days a week, and it's amazing, and I'm past their lives fully, so I've got a second chance to do it all again. And it's wonderful. And Bledin is my boy. You know, I lost my son, but when Bledin was born, it was my second chance. God was really good. He didn't bless me with another son because I wasn't ready for that. I couldn't have gone through that again. I don't think I would have coped the first 12 months or so waiting and always being on edge and thinking this isn't going to last because it didn't last time. So he gave me 2 beautiful daughters, and then he gave me my boy. And he is my eyes, I'm afraid. So, don't think that your life is so different to those around you and that God doesn't know. Because God knows everything. Even those things that you keep locked away behind the door, even those things that you keep locked deep inside, God knows them. You can't hide anything from him because he knew them before you knew them. Before you knew they were going to happen, he already knew they were going to happen. And he was already there waiting in preparation to catch you or to celebrate with you, to do whatever he needed to do. I want to relate my testimony to someone that I think is really special in the Bible and someone that we don't bring out very often. Someone that we only bring out at Christmas, really. And I relate my testimony to Mary. And I wonder if God had come to me in 3 years, well, it wouldn't have happened because I wasn't a Christian, I didn't know him. But if he came to me today and said, I'm going to give you a child that is going to be a precious child, but there is no guarantee this child will always be with you, whether I would do what Mary did, whether I would be so quick to say, let it be to me according to your word, whether I would be so quick to submit to something so huge and so massive. When the angel said to her, with God, all things are possible. And they are. All things are possible. People say to me often, how do you not hate God for what happens? How do you not hate God for taking your father and your son? You know, both sides. How do you not hate God? I don't hate God for that. God didn't do that. Adam and Eve did that when they didn't listen to what God told them to do. They introduced death and illness and all of those things, pain into our world. Not God. God loves me. He loves me more than I love bledding. He loves me more than I love my children. He loves me more than anything in this world. But he loves all of us the same. All of us. Not one person on this planet does God not love. There are lots of people who don't know that he loves them. There are lots of people who don't acknowledge that he loves them. But he does. Every single one. And every single human on this planet was formed in their mother's womb with God knowing about it. And God having a plan for them. Every single person. The most evil person and the kindest person. He had that plan for them. Whether they follow the plan or not is human will and human choice. But he had a plan for everybody. He had a plan for Hitler. He didn't follow that plan, but God had a plan for him. Sorry, I'm going off on a tangent now. I said I would. So let's look back at Mary. We tend to put Mary away with the Christmas decorations a bit, don't we? Christmas is over. Let's put it back in the box, and we'll bring her back out again for the Nativity story next year. Mary was amazing. Absolutely amazing. She was 14, 15 years old. She was a child. I think my mum was young, having me. But she was a child. This angel came to her and said, you're going to have a baby. How would we react to that scenario? And then she said, okay, it's fine. I submit. Whatever you say, I submit. And it will be. She brought that child up as a child. Jesus was brought up as a child. He wasn't brought up as God. He was brought up as a normal little boy who did all the things that all the other little boys did. He learned, he helped his mum, he played outside, he did all the lovely things that little boys do. And then when he grew up, he took on the mantle that was his to take on. And he began to preach and began to share who he was. But I want to take this to the very end, and this is where I relate very much to Mary. When she lost her son. Because she lost her son. He didn't just die. She watched him humiliated and beaten and spit upon and ripped to shreds. And she had to stand and watch her child go through that. I don't know who's seen The Passion. Has anyone seen The Passion, the most recent one? When she follows him as he carries that cross up the street, and she's following him and trying to mop his brow and trying to help, my heart was breaking. Because at that moment, she was his mum. She wasn't anything else. She was watching her child. I just want to say, let's not put her away. Let's remember there are lots of people in the Bible who were just like us. Just like us, who go through the same things and the same turmoil that we do. The difference is that she knew the love of the Father from the very beginning. because she believed. She knew that he was always with her, through good and bad, happy and sad. But that's the promise he's given us, that he'll never leave us or forsake us, that he's always with us. We turn our backs. I've turned my back on God more times than I can tell you, because I'm a control freak. And I find it very hard to think that God's actually in control, and I'm not sometimes. I want to take control of things. In fact, the first verse that God ever gave me, you can guess what it's going to be. It's Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Because he knew this is the verse I needed. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So I have to step back and say, okay, you've got it, I haven't. You know what's coming next, I don't. That's hard. It's hard for me. My grandfather used to call me, he used to say to me when I was 2 and a half, make a great sergeant major one day. Because I was always in charge of everything. I was in charge of all the other children. I'm a good teacher because I stand up at the front, I'm in charge. That's what I like to do, be in charge. Life isn't always kind. Life isn't always predictable. But life is good. And we only get one shot. One shot at it. I don't want to lay on my deathbed and think, I wish I had done that. I wish I'd said that. I wish I hadn't done that, and I wish I hadn't said that. I want to lay on my deathbed knowing that I've done the best I could do. And that I allowed God to direct me, and I allowed God to take control of my life and do the things in me that he wanted me to do, and through me that he wanted me to do. But I want to take you back to the very beginning and just read Psalm 139, but from the Message, just for a different slant on things. Oh yes, you shaped me first, inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You are breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I work. Bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something, like an open book. You watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life prepared before I'd even lived one day. Every one of us, God had a plan for. Every one of us. But the only way that plan comes to fruition is to have a relationship with him. So that you can work together with him and allow him to direct you. He gives us a promise that he will never leave us. That he will always be with us. He gave this promise to Joshua. And we can read the Bible and say, oh, that promise was for Joshua. That was for Moses. That was for... But actually, he loves us all the same. We're just as important as Joshua, just as important as Moses. We're the same people. Because we're all equal in God's eyes. There's no one better. There's no one bigger. There's no one he loves more. No one he loves less. He loves us all the same. So we can all do what Joshua did. We can all be Moses. We can all do those things because he loves us the same. And he empowers us and fills us the same as he filled them. There isn't a difference. No man will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not abandon you. I will not leave you. Be strong and courageous. For you shall provide the land that I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance for his people. Be strong and very courageous in order to act carefully in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn aside from it to the right or the left, so that you may succeed wherever you go. This book of the law must not depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may act carefully according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way successful, and you will be wise. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Through the good, the bad, the happy, the sad, as long as you turn to him, he's there for you. Amen. And he can bring you to where you need to be. Thank you.